Blog Talk Radio.
Helen, start your engine!
Yes, here we go. A very pleasant Sunday to you. And thanks for joining me in the garage for the Race Trim Motorsports Hour. Now I'm your host, Uncle Mark, coming to you on our Frat House Sports Radio Network right here at blogtalkradio.com. Now this week we're going to talk all things motorsports. That would include NASCAR and all tiers of NASCAR, including Sprint Cup nationwide. We're even going to talk a little bit about Camping World Truck Series this week. We're also going to chat a bit about some NHRA, some hiccups that occurred last week in their qualifying, and some of the headache that occurred as they moved the countdown to Texas for this week's heats. You know, we're talking last week, and I was joined by my host and my frat house brother, technical director, Brandon. We were talking about the NASCAR playoff format. You know, we're going into the chase, but in fact, are you with me there, Brandon?
Absolutely.
All right. We were talking about the chase a week ago. And this playoff format, we have 16 drivers increased from a dozen, you know, had been the norm. And elimination rounds are going to knock out drivers. We're going to start at 16. We're going to move to 12, down to 8, down to 4 for the finale in Homestead in November. Now, last week ago, we saw Brad Keselowski win that first one in Chicagoland. That was his second in a row. He had won Richmond just prior to the chase. Now he's won Chicago. Brandon, let me tell you something. We've got Penske dominance going on without a doubt. The Ford motors are strong. What do you think? Is Logano absolutely the heir apparent now to follow his teammate Brad into victory lane, do you think?
I would think it's definitely high up on the list for sure. I mean, those guys are just unbeatable. The only difference I give Keselowski over Logano is I think Keselowski's a little bit more, seasoned of a driver, mm-hmm. where every once in a while Logano makes a stupid mistake and costs him, you know, either something on pit road or he bumps somebody and hurts the performance of the car. You know, I'm not saying he can't win. He's proven he has with like 3 wins already this year. But I'm not surprised Keselowski's out in front. He's the good point man for Penske for sure.
Yeah, without a doubt. Now, of course, we're not going to sleep on the Hendrix Motor Sports folks. You know, we're looking at Jeff Gordon. You know, we're looking at Jimmy Johnson up there. We're looking at Casey Kane in there. And, of course, we're looking at Junior in there. So all 4 of those Hendrix drivers are strong. Those motors are crazy strong. You and I were chatting earlier. You know, Hendrix obviously leases out motors to other teams as well. So there's no reason to think that Ford and the Blue Oval is going to run away with this. Certainly Chevy has something they want to say about this. You might agree.
Absolutely. Absolutely. As a matter of fact, you know, there's a couple strong Chevy power plant builders. I mean, Hendrix, who builds, you know, all their cars and Stuart Haas, and they also have Front Row Motorsports with the 78 car. Mm-hmm. And I think there's even one or so others in there. But you got Childress, who makes their own engines, who builds their own engines, and they won the nationwide race yesterday. So, you know.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
A little boost there for another Chevy team that can, you know, has their own power plant.
Yeah, and, you know, it's not as though, you're right, it's not as though they're a poor cousin, because, quite frankly, Richard Childress Racing does have representation in the chase in Ryan Newman. Interestingly enough, Ryan Newman just made it in to the, what would I say, initial race of the chase last week. He had just secured the 16th spot, but following a reasonably good win in Chicagoland, actually Newman moved up, and he sits a little more comfortably in the number 13 spot. Although, in fact, you know, those bottom four drivers, Ryan Newman from Richard Childress, A.J. Allmendinger, JTG Doherty, Roush Fenway Racing's Greg Biffle, and Richard Petty Motorsports' Eric Almirola all sit in what you would call sort of the danger zone, and that would be areas 13, 14, 15, and 16 as we go into now race. I'm counting it backwards. Assuming last week was number 10, I'm counting it backwards, and this would be number 9 on the countdown in the chase.
Yep, that sounds about right.
Yeah, no, I mean, some would say, well, it was the first race of the chase. I'm actually doing it sort of the reverse. I'm left-handed in some of my thinking.
No, actually, I think by definition, a countdown is a countdown. So you count down from 10 to 9 to 8. I think that's what they're calling it. So let's go that. I'm with
that's, all right, so very good. Now we're moving on to New Hampshire. You're well-versed in NASCAR. So we're talking about a flat track, Brandon. We're talking about a little bit different strategy. We're not going to have a lot of momentum coming out of corners because there's really no banking. So what would we say? There's going to be a little more emphasis on what? Track placement, probably driving and steering and not over-driving corners. How difficult is it to pass at a track like this, a very flat track? Is that something that's going to be an issue?
Well, it's going to be an issue if your car isn't handling properly, that's for sure. The cars that handle, you're going to see, you know, a handful of guys traditionally at this track who do well. Harvick does well. Keselowski does well. Kyle Busch does really well. In the past, you've had Hamlin run real well at flat tracks like this. The key is if they roll through the center of the corner, and they can get on the throttle quicker coming out of the turn, then they'll pass. They'll have no problem passing a slower car in front of them.
Okay.
You know? But if you have a guy who's, you know, got to wait on that gas, or if they hit the gas and it pushes the car out towards the wall, that's the kind of guy who's going to have a hard time passing in this particular style of track.
How do you like your driver is obviously Dale Earnhardt Jr. How do you like his chances? He's kind of been quiet, although we've gone through we didn't have a rainout as we did the prior week in Chicago, in which case qualifying actually didn't occur, and what they did was they based qualifying on practice runs. We got the full three sessions of practice in. We got qualifying in. How do you like Dale Jr. at a track of this nature? Is this a track he can run strong at?
Yes, this is a track he has led laps at in the past, recent past, too. I think he draws a lot from teammates like Casey Kane, Jeff Gordon, and Jimmy Johnson. They've all, at different times, run well at this track. And I believe, if I remember correctly, back to last year, I believe he had a second at one of the races. So I'm kind of looking, you know, top five. You know, I don't think he's going to come out there and set the world on fire and win the race unless, you know, they did find something and they've just kind of, you know, they're biding their time till the race goes. See, I think part of what we never see during the practices because of the formats and the shortened time is you never really get to see the full, you know, beginning of a run till the end of the tire run. This track traditionally doesn't have a lot of caution because it doesn't have the bank turn. So they're not running, you know, they're not bumping off each other as much. This track generally has a lot fewer cautions. So you'll see a full fuel run. And you don't generally see too much of that in practice because they're making quick little changes. They want to see what they can do to get the qualifying. I'm not saying that every team didn't run a full fuel run at one practice or another, but we don't really, as fans, have a way of knowing which one was which. So, I think that's when you'll see the cream rise to the crop, to the top, rather, is the, you know, halfway to two-thirds of the way through that fuel run. The good cars that still handle, you're going to see them pull away and go. And you may see somebody else who ran really good the first half of a fuel run, you know, slide a little. You know, like their car is better from full gas versus, you know, half a tank of gas. Because the weight of the car obviously goes down as they burn through fuel. So the handling characteristics sometimes will change.
Now, is this the kind of track that we're going to see four tires on stops, or can we get away with just doing two tire stops and a splash of gas and you're good to go in and out of the pit in 7-8 seconds, or is it really a four?
I think you'll see a mix.
Right. Okay.
On the full fuel runs, you know, especially if they have two in a row, you're gonna have to have four tires. The left tires, you know, you're not gonna do that. Now, if you have a quick, you know, a quick caution after one, you might see somebody give it a shot. And like you alluded to earlier, track position, you know, if you're out front, you know, that's worth a ton. So
that's,
I think you will
really
see,
where you want to be.
Yeah, I think you'll see the two tires towards probably more towards the end of the race, or if there's a caution after they just did a four tire change kind of thing,
not too long
after, where there's say 10 or 12 laps on the left side. That's when you're going to see teams, especially somebody who's say running 15th, 16th, they're going to roll the dice and go for two. But I think you'll see more than just, you know, one or two guys do it. I think it'll be pretty common.
Okay. Now, I'm not exactly expressing surprise, but I think it is worth mentioning, you know, as part of our leaderboard here on the 16 Chase drivers, we have two firmly ensconced from Joe Gibbs Racing, and that would be Denny Hamlin and Kyle Busch. Now, of course, Kenseth is in there on points, so all of the Joe Gibbs drivers are showing up. This has not traditionally, through this year, been a very good Toyota year. They've not been nearly so dominant in the sport. When we compare, let's say, to 2013, I mean, my goodness, last year, Matt Kenseth of Joe Gibbs Racing took seven checkers, and the entire Joe Gibbs Racing team, that would be Kenseth, Busch, Hamlin, won a dozen of 36 races. That's a third of the races that Toyota was in on, and Joe Gibbs Racing took the credit for. Now, he's in on points, that is Matt Kenseth, but he's still on a watch list regardless, as would be certainly Busch and Hamlin. Now, you got a couple non-contenders in there as well. That would be Clint Boyer. You got Brian Vickers. All of these guys pilot Toyotas. Let me ask you this. Do you have a care to speculate? Will TRD have a real solid shot at Victory Lane in New Hampshire? Is this the kind of track where perhaps a less powerful or recently tweaked more powerful Toyota motor can win?
Yes, I do. I believe if Kyle, I would watch for Kyle Busch. Kyle Busch, you know, does what he's done at this track before and gets his car handling where he's on that throttle, you know, midway through the turn and on the way, you know, driving off the turn, I think you could see a Toyota come out there and lead a lot of laps, maybe win. You know, the same thing applies, though, that's happened all year long. Is anybody going to have anything for, you know, Keselowski or Logano in the end, because, you know, Penske's been there on every track. It's kind of surprising because all the Ford motors are built by a combination of Roush and Penske. And the Roush, you know, the Roush engines that are built for Penske, from what everybody has said, is slightly different. And the Penske motors seem to just be making the power, where the Roush, you know, proper motors like, you know, Carl Edwards and Biffle. They're in the chase, but they're not, you don't see them up front, you know, running the tons, you know.
Right.
Like the other two.
So, I mean, at this point, here's what's fun about it, obviously, and this is no different this year than any other year in the chase. We could certainly see a spoiler. I mean, there's no doubt about it. I mean, apart from the 16 that are vying for the championship at the end of the day, anyone could possibly win the race.
If you want to talk spoilers, I can think of three Chevy teams right off the top that could give you a spoiler. And that
throw them at me. Go ahead.
That could be your Kyle Larson, his
Gotta
teammate Jamie McMurray,
Gotta
or
love it.
And this is from Richard Childress Racing, Paul Menard. Paul Menard has run here in the past, and Richard Childress has had many wins at this track with other drivers. So, you know, I mean, they had a win with the 31 car way back when Lowe's sponsored it and Robbie Gordon was the driver. what's his name, Jeff Burton, has had many good runs and wins at this track. Yeah, you know, when he was driving for Roush and Childress. So Childress has a history at this track. And, you know, I don't know that it necessarily suits Ryan Newman per se. I don't, his driving style, possibly. But, you know, I think I see Newman more on, you know, the bank tracks of having the chance at the win. But you never know. But I would say Paul Menard, he's one of those that could be a sneaky little, you know, hey, we did a, you know, a splash and go at the end and got track position and won the race kind of thing. As well as the two Canassi cars. They have been running good, and they were up, you know, they qualified well. They were up at the top of all the practices. It's a shame neither one of them made the chase, but I think you're going to hear a noise from one or both of them before this chase is over.
Yeah, I kind of hope so. You know, that's just my own personal bias coming through. And Paul Menard is going to be starting up the race from 23rd position, which actually is not bad. He's coming from the midpoint. We and right up there up front, you mentioned him, Jamie McMurray. He's going to run side-by-side with Keselowski at the green to get this thing up and going. And Kyle Larson, that young rookie, he's piloting that 42 from the number 10 spot. Ryan Newman right ahead of him in the ninth spot. But it's funny because apart from those couple Toyotas, which are, as I mentioned, Denny Hamlin and Kyle Busch in four and five position coming from the pole, it's primarily a Ford and Chevy-dominated front-running from the pole. Got Vickers in there. We got Bowyers in there. Both of those men coming from the top 20. Kenseth from the 16th spot. So it's going to be very interesting to see how we proceed. I had a chance to watch the Camping World truck race yesterday, and as you mentioned, there were really very few cautions. The track lends itself to very, very, very long green flag runs, which can be, I guess, great for the fans, but sometimes can be a nightmare, I guess, for spotters, crew chiefs, and others, right? Because that does come in.
Oh, yeah, and there's times, you know, there's times where this is the kind of track where you'll see NASCAR throw the imaginary debris caution at times just to get people bunched back up. Well, you know, they claim it makes a better race. You know, true race fans don't care if there's a fake caution or not, but, you know, this is the kind of track where, you know, they'll be running 200 laps in a row without a caution, and then all of a sudden there'll be, you know, a chunk of rubber that needs to be picked up that didn't need to be picked up 50 laps ago. So,
yeah, right, exactly right. You know, we spoilers. We're going to see some. Who knows? Could be Danica Patrick. I mean, she too actually had some fairly good runs in practice session. So it's going to be interesting to see. And of course, being fantasy guys that we are. We're trying to pick out who we like, who we think, wow, you know, is there really a reason for Brad Keselowski? Let me ask you just on, you know, sort of a flyby. Is there really a reason for Brad Keselowski to push hard in this race number 9 or even race number 8? I mean, his name has already been moved over to the contender round. He's already in. Now, I'm not saying he's going to phone it in. But really, is Keselowski somebody you want to put on your fantasy roster today? Or do you really want to roll the dice with, you know, one of the many other drivers that could, like we, you know, mentioned, maybe a Kyle Larson or a Jamie Mack? I mean, is he somebody that you anticipate is going to run hard at this one?
Absolutely. I don't see any reason why they would stop. They got one key thing going that I don't think anybody else can say, and that's momentum. And we've seen this in other sports. Once you have it, you don't want to lose it. And I don't think they're going to do anything that you would consider risky or outside of the box because they don't have to. They've been winning races. They've been running up front. They're the rabbit everybody else is chasing. So they can just keep doing what they're doing. And I don't see them doing anything at all different from doing what they're doing. They need to just keep their rhythm, keep the good pit stops, keep, you know, whatever they're doing it right, they're going to keep doing it. I don't see them not. I don't see anybody. The only kind of thing that I could see would be, you know, desperation would be the four you alluded to that are getting towards the back of the, you know, the chase and might are in danger of not moving on. I could see one of those teams maybe, you know, taking a chance, going outside mm-hmm. their normal comfort to try to keep themselves, you know, relevant. But other than that, I think Keselowski's a good bet. He's on my team, and I'm not taking him off.
Okay, I got you. You know, it's unfortunate for Arik Amarola. He has dropped. I mean, he literally is the bubble guy at this point going into race number 9. Now, we still have two more to go. We've got 9, and we've got next week number 8 in Dover, at which point, following that race, we're going to have the cut. Arik Amarola is the lone representation for Richard Petty Motorsports, and, of course, he got his win, and he got himself in. But he dropped 4 spots, claimed a bit of hardship through some of the practice runs, as did another of sort of a fun dark horse, and that was JTG Doherty's AJ Allmendinger. He too claimed some hardship at running at this track. In a funny way, Brandon, I would love to see both these guys advance, but at the end of the day, do they have the equipment? Do they have the talent? Really, do they have the resources?
Yeah, they do. They're starting a little at a disadvantage because they had a bad run in the first race. Here's the key. Here's what could help them. If, say, somebody who's, let's just say, between the 12 and 8 spot right now, who's not, you know, one of the front-running chase guys, say one or two of them have an issue today, that's mm-hmm. going to help level the playing field for the back guys. And mm-hmm. this is all providing they have, you know, solid runs. And when I say a solid run, top 20, top 15, mm-hmm. you know, would be nice. Amarola, you know, he got to be praying for a top 10 because he finished the worst of everybody in the first
mm-hmm.
week. So,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yeah.
I don't know how much this track lends to his driving style.
Mm-hmm.
I know the 43 car, Richard Petty Motorsports, has traditionally run well at Dover. So, okay. you know, there's
that
a chance for him there, but he
you
needs
know,
to survive here.
Interestingly enough, looking at the board, which I have before me, and seeing how the drivers in the top 16, the chase, how they moved up or moved down, the greatest movers were actually Jimmy Johnson down 4 spots and Carl Edwards from Roush Fenway, who dropped 5 spots. So I absolutely concur sort of with your thinking now that I've kind of put that with the placement of the drivers. I mean, Jimmy Johnson, right? He's looking for 7 time, right? And certainly Carl Edwards has been strong all year. He too runs that blue oval Ford for Roush, but both of those drivers fell back quite a bit. Now, let's switch gears a little bit, because going into 2014, this was an unheralded year, flush with new faces, which translated to a rookie class larger than we have seen at the Cup level. Brandon, have you ever seen like 8-9 rookies come in at this level? I mean,
not that many, no.
Right? Just tremendous. Now,
we have had some talented classes in the past. I mean, going back, some of the ones I remember, the year Dale Earnhardt Jr. came in, he also came in with Matt Kenseth. So there you have two, you know, what you would consider heavy hitters today. And they came in together as rookies. And if you go back even further, like to the late, you know, the early 90s, there was a year where Bobby Labonte, Kenny Wallace, and there was a third power guy, all of them came in at once as rookies. And, mm-hmm. you know, that was a pretty solid class of rookies for many years there. But this one does stand out in recent history because we haven't had, you know, Kyle Larson and Austin Dillon, you know, two rookies who are running up front a lot, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't seen that from rookies in this, you know, any recent history.
No, and, you know, I always think back to Jimmy Johnson, the rookie year he came in, probably should have won his rookie year, had more wins than virtually any other young driver, but who won it was Ryan Newman, and both those guys are still in the chase. Here we are 12 years, approximately 12, 11 years later from that rookie campaign, so you're right. This year, I mean, Kyle Larson, Chip Ganassi, what a great run this young kid has had. He's ranked 17th. He put up 779 points. He leads all rookies as we speak. Right behind him, Richard Childress Racing has Austin Dillon. Now, he came in with a lot of fanfare because he's piloting the number three, which we hadn't seen now. Of course, that's former champion Dale Sr.'s number. All he's done is ranked 20th for all drivers with 726 points. Let's round it out. Justin Allgaier of H. Scott Motorsports, he's running 29th, 476 points. Michael Annette from Tommy Baldwin Racing. We've got Cole Witt, BK Racing. Alex Bowman represents BK Racing. Ryan Truex, not sure his status. I know he did not run last week, but Ryan Truex also with BK Racing.
And I think Ryan Truex is taking a little time off of Sprint Cup because he's currently leading the Camping Truck World Series, and I think he's trying to bring that championship home. So he's, they're possibly eliminating other distractions for him right now, which is fine.
Not.
That's a fair statement. Right. I mean,
I would agree.
You know, he's a rookie in Sprint Cup, ready to bring home the Camping Truck. That's not a bad little thing on your resume.
No, not at all. And, I mean, to round out the top 10, although he did not maintain a seat at the Sprint Cup level, although it was hoped, was Parker Kligerman. He started the season with what is now the defunct Swan Racing team, as did Cole Witt. Cole Witt got picked up by BK Racing, and, of course, he's continued to run. But once Swan shuttered in April their operation, well, then he was without a job. Now, he's since found a spot running actually in the open wheel, which he seems to prefer. He's running with Schmidt Peterson Motorsports, piloting an Indy Lights car. I'll tell you what, the future of the sport at this level, now we're talking top level, with some of these young, fresh faces, really looks good. I mean, Austin Dillon, as you mentioned, Kyle Larson, as you mentioned, either one or both, I wouldn't be surprised to see grab a win away from some of the top-tier contenders.
Absolutely. You know, Kyle Larson's a threat almost any week, and I'll tell you, if you really want to watch Austin Dillon, a couple weeks when we hit Talladega, Richard Childress Motorsports has always done well on the restrictor plate tracks. He sat on the pole at Daytona earlier this year, if you remember. So if you want to see Austin Dillon, that's where you look.
All right, I want to. I can't wait. I mean, I'm loving it. A lot of these drivers probably aren't liking the idea of Talladega, but of course, this year, because of all the switch ups, all the change ups, I find it compelling and exciting. Now, we do have a call. We have a call coming in this morning. Brenda, do you see that?
Awesome. Yeah, I do. I believe.
Who do we have with us on the line? Good morning, and welcome to the Race Trim Motorsports Hour.
How are we doing, gentlemen?
Hey,
how are we doing?
I think that's our own frat house Mike.
I do believe it is.
Oh, I was going to try to disguise my voice, you know, maybe sound like a hillbilly or a redneck, but not the best of mornings, you know.
I bet Fred House Mike's looking forward to this week in NASCAR. He's a Kyle Busch guy, and I have a feeling Kyle Busch is going to run real well today.
Well, Kyle, what? I think he's starting out fifth in the lineup for today. So, yeah, I am, but I'm going to be honest with you. I've not been real high on the Toyotas this year. I just have really, really been unimpressed with them all the way around. You know, they run really, really well to start, but they just don't seem to have the staying and the finishing power. And that's, you know, listen, you might be very, very right, Brandon. Kyle might be running up front for a little while, but it's been so typical that what you see from him is he'll run up front for a number of laps really, really well, and then all of a sudden we're watching him drop back to fourth, fifth, tenth. They just don't seem to have the staying power.
Well, I think you might see a little difference today. It's just a hunch I have. The engine, you know, discrepancy they may be running with at the moment won't be so front and center here today. And Kyle Busch has had, you know, set up handling cars here that are just insane. So you might see a difference today. I'm going out here on a limb, but I think you're going to see him more up front today.
I like your hunch because God knows I need a win. I haven't had one all season long. Fantasy. And, of course, I'm not changing my anchor. My anchor will stay the same. But, you know, you guys are bringing up the rookies, and that was one of the things I wanted to bring up on Thursday evening over on our regular Fred House Sports Show. And you're bringing up that Kyle Larson. And, look, he finished third last week in Chase Race number one. Do I have the lineup here? I was just wondering where. Oh, he's starting 10th today.
Yeah, that's right, from the pole.
This kid. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this kid really could steal one away, you know, as a non-qualifying chase driver. Yeah, I mean, if there is any rookie, I'd put my money on this one.
I would agree.
I would agree. And I tend to agree with Brandon, too, that Austin Dillon's probably one of his best shots could be a track like a Talladega. I mean, just a monster, crazy, you don't touch the brakes kind of super speedway. But that's what he likes. So, and that's really not going to be, I don't believe, Kyle Larson's in his wheelhouse as much. But yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. I don't want to sleep on Jamie McMurray. Jamie McMurray wound up winning that All-Star race back in May, and he has just threatened consistently every 5-6 races. You see Jamie McMurray come back into the conversation as a potential spoiler, and I really, really like his chances. As I say, coming from the second spot, that doesn't guarantee he's going to finish second or win, but it's certainly, this is a good, obviously, track to get out in front, run with the clean air, get the momentum, and maybe hold on to keep going. You know, we're looking at some of the fresh faces at the Sprint Cup level. Hard to believe, you know, at the Nationwide level, at the Camping World Truck level, we have a whole other group of fresh faces. Last night, I sat just absolutely riveted as Ty Dillon and Chase Elliott went back and forth in the Nationwide race. Now, there's two young drivers coming up. Also, Richard Childress Racing represented there with Ty Dillon. You've got Junior Motorsports, right, with Chase Elliott running. Reagan Smith's been running great. It's just tremendous. Elliott Sadler for Joe Gibbs. When we start to look even at the Nationwide series, this sport is very, very strong. Gentlemen, mm-hmm. Would you not agree with some great, great young talent?
Absolutely. I'll tell you, one of the ones I really, really like is that Bubba Wallace over there driving the trucks.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's something to be watching in the very, very near future. Watch him to really move up. I like what I have seen from him, and it's been a real quick start for him as well.
I've heard some rumblings you might see him in Nationwide next year.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I think he's on the fast track.
Yeah, I wouldn't be a bit surprised. Now, of course, he represents Kyle Busch Motorsports. We also have Brad Keselowski.
No bias
racing.
On my part, of course.
Yeah, no, none whatsoever. You got Brad Keselowski Racing, represented there in the Camping World Truck Series by Ryan Blaney. He, too, is, you know, Ryan Blaney's looking to move up next year. He's going to do some changing of teams. What's interesting to me and what's kind of fun for me when I look at that Camping World Truck Series is you actually have drivers at the sprint level who are owners at the Camping World Truck level, and therein the wheel kind of turns on itself, and you see the revolution. If you follow what I'm saying, then it's really very cool.
Well, you know, a lot of these that you had mentioned, Junior Motorsports is obviously very tied into Hendrick, and Brad Keselowski's truck team is tied into Penske. So, you know, it's a way that, you know, Hendrick or Penske can bring a guy up through another series that they don't have, you know, have to field the equipment for, per se. I'm sure they're getting engines. You know, engines are coming out of Hendrick for Junior Motorsports, and Penske's, you know, engines are coming through their normal pipeline for Brad Keselowski's team. But it's another way they can, you know, people through the ranks.
Yeah, I just think it's wonderful for the sport as we go forward. These young kids that we see today, I put it up on our frat house Facebook page. The results of yesterday's Camping World Truck Series. A young kid, Cole Custer, the youngest driver 16 years, odd 16, months, yep. and odd days old, the youngest to ever win at a NASCAR level. Just outstanding. He ran from the pole, essentially led, my goodness, 85% of the laps. And on a late restart, he got himself back in, and didn't he win it? And who was there? But as you say, Frat House Mike, there's your Darrell Bubba Wallace Jr.
Yep.
It came down between he and Darrell Bubba, which was just compelling. I mean, it was just such a fun thing to watch. Just astounding. I mean, the average speed was 110 miles an hour, and, you know, some of us might have done that, you know, running up and down 422 once in a while, and then you back off saying, oh, my God, I can't believe I'm pushing it. That you are talking very young, these young men, you know, here's a 16-year-old kid running at an average of near 110 miles an hour. And later last evening, it was the Chase Elliott show.
Yeah.
Brendan Gaughan ultimately won the race. He only led a very few at the beginning and a very few laps, about 10 or less at the end after a restart. But who was in the conversation but Chase Elliott and Austin brother Ty Dillon.
Mm-hmm.
So once again, I mean, you know, we consider this like, you know, amateur league or whatever. No. This is professional motorsports, and it's compelling. I don't care how young these kids are. It's just been a very, very fun season to watch. Now, let's switch gears.
There's been no one that's been more exciting or more fun to watch this season, I think, than Chase Elliott. Just been enjoyable.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's enjoyable to actually sit back and watch a race where he's running, you know, and he's competing and he might be in the top five and you're watching. I mean, the kid's got the kind of moves that, and again, I hate to sound biased, but it's the truth, and we've talked about this before. The kid's got the kind of moves that Kyle Busch does. Kyle, to me, is an instinctive driver. We've talked about this before. That guy's got the natural ability somehow or another. He's got something that a lot of other drivers do not have. The ability, I don't know if it's a fearlessness. You know, it's not a recklessness, but it's, I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to make the moves. And then you couple that with the ability to just maneuver a car in such a way that you don't see others being able to do it. Chase Elliott has got a lot of the same characteristics I see, and that's what makes him so much fun to just sit back and watch.
Yep, I would agree with you there for sure. He's very
polished, too. 347-826-9964. If you're out there, you want to climb in, you want to give us your thoughts on NASCAR. We're going to switch gears momentarily here. We're going to talk a little NHRA. But all we really need is you folks. So give us a call, 347-826-9964. Be part of it. Join us, won't you? And give us your thoughts. Now, last week, the NHRA, rather than having a momentum buildup, gentlemen, all activity in the countdown to the championship was suspended Sunday evening, primarily due to weather, but then exacerbating were terrible track conditions at the C-Max Dragway in Charlotte, North Carolina. Now, you know, what was so disappointing was the continuation of eliminations for the countdown opener, which was the Pep Boys NHRA Carolina Nationals, were completed during qualifying rounds of this week's AAA Texas NHRA Fall Nationals. See, additionally, three rounds of racing still remained for both Top Fuel and Funny Car, and all rounds still remained for Pro Stock Motorcycle, with four pairs of Pro Stock cars that also needed to complete their first round runs. I mean, what a nightmare, what a mess. You might have thought, well, that's fine. What we'll do is we'll continue this on Monday at the location in Carolina. But no. Many, many fans were disappointed by the suspension as essentially the haulers loaded up and left out of town. There's calls, you know, for the track and or NHRA to honor those tickets next year. Track officials have evidently claimed there was a conflict, possibly a NASCAR conflict in the scheduling, and it prevented the completion of those heats. yeah, thoughts on that, Frat House Mike, do you? You're an NHRA guy. I know Brandon is as well. What are your thoughts? How much of a stick in the mud was this?
Well, look, if it had happened during the regular season, I think it's bad enough. NHRA can't allow this to happen again, not in the countdown. There's only six events. There's only six events in the countdown.
Right.
This isn't like the chase where you get 10 of them.
Right.
So the opportunities for these guys, for the top 10 in each one of the categories, there are few. You can't allow this to happen. I was not pleased about it for a couple of reasons. It puts an awful lot of stress, I believe, and emphasis on those crews who had to have everything ready to go yesterday in order to complete what should have taken place last week at Charlotte. I don't know exactly what it did to the qualifying that was supposed to have been, I guess, would have normally been taking place in yesterday's rounds. But again, as you just pointed out there, Mark, to have that break, that momentum break in what's occurring, almost not right. You know, these guys, the crews are on a particular part of the whole competition is not just, you know, the drivers running down the track in less than 4 seconds or 4 seconds, a little bit over 4 seconds. It's not just that. It's also the competition of the crews putting those cars together and having them ready to go in a particular set period of time. Well, you lost some of that yesterday because you're going from one track to another.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand what happened. Obviously, we didn't want the cars running last week if the conditions weren't right, if the weather wasn't right. Obviously, if the weather's not right, you can't do it at all. But there should have been some sort of, particularly
contingency,
this time of year.
Yeah,
there should have been some sort of backup plan ready to go in the event that this kind of thing occurred. No, I was not happy about the fact that this happened at all.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, at this point, following 19 of 24 events, including, you know, events through that they completed through Charlotte, you know, the top fuel leader is still Doug Kalita. Tony Schumacher, that's a favorite I know of the frat house. Running in second place, just 33 points behind. In the funny car, John Force. We got any John Force fans out there, men? Either of you guys know who I mean?
No.
Do you know who I mean when I mention the guy's name, John Force?
He talks too much.
Yeah,
he talks too much.
Yeah, well, he's currently your funny car leader, but right behind him.
No surprise.
Right behind him, Robert Height, just 21 points back. Ron Capps, just 36 points back. Alexis DeGioia, 58 points back. That funny car division is very, very tight and very, very close. Over in Pro Stock, Jason Line seems to be holding the line. Erica Ender-Stevens, I believe you kind of have, you're kind of pulling for her, are you not there, Fred House Mike? That's one of the premier women in the Pro Stock category.
Great story. She's a fabulous, fabulous
right?
story. When you can take a look at what happened last year, and she missed so many races due to a lack of sponsorship,
mm-hmm.
and then to come back, I believe she's running for Summit this year, and then to come back and have the kind of season that she's had where really she's almost led the board almost the entire season, right now sits herself in second place in the Pro Stock. You bet your life I'm rooting for Erica. I'd love to see Erica win the whole thing and get the championship.
Well, of course, let's see. Today we're going to have completions of the events in Texas, right, before we move on. So I'm quite sure. I mean, it was something crazy, like 3 o'clock this morning you could watch yesterday's qualifying, I think they said, on like ESPN News or something. I mean, it's something crazy. I was sleeping and dreaming of getting up to do our show here and having my coffee. But, in fact, I know that today still is going to be more action coming to us from Texas as we go through the second of the six countdowns that remain.
Now, just in that funny car
mm-hmm.
division, if you take a look at that real quick, again, going back to that, because that is one of our favorite divisions in the whole thing. While John Force sits atop of the list right now,
mm-hmm.
in yesterday's makeup from Charlotte, What did the finals come down to in Funny Car? But how about Matt Hagen against John Force? Matt Hagen won that. So he actually won the heat that completed up the Charlotte situation. And yet,
okay,
even with that win, John Force still sits atop.
Still remains on top.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 21 points ahead of Bob Height, and Matt Hagen still only in fifth place, 72 points behind the leader. So even with that win, it goes to show you just how big a lead John Force has had. And that goes directly to his crew. That crew has put together a car this year. And, you know, he's going to lose his Ford sponsorship.
This is the last year for that, right?
Yeah.
Right.
What a year he has put on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I certainly hope that Ford is sitting there looking at it going, damn, I think we made a mistake.
Yeah, I can't believe we're letting this guy go.
Maybe. We don't know. That might be, believe it or not, that may be something worth considering. I think it's pretty well known throughout the garage area that you're not going to get a better sponsor guy than John Force. So
yep.
if it's at all possible that they can continue, they may.
All right. Once again, 347-826-9964. That's the telephone number if you want to climb in and you want to join us in some conversation. We have approximately 15 minutes, a little bit less than 15 minutes to go in our hour here. Race Trim Motorsports Hour, brought to you by Frat House Sports Radio Network. I am joined by my co-host, Brandon, my Frat House brother and technical director, and in fact, also joined, and we'll keep you on the line with us, Frat House Mike, also my Frat House real brother. And we're chatting all things motorsports. We chatted about some NHRA just now and what's going to be the completion of the heats down in Texas for countdown around number two. But I wanted to switch gears back right quick and talk about once more the number nine race, or counting down number nine, New Hampshire, counting up from one. This would be number two in the chase at New Hampshire. On Thursday, when we did our Frat House Sports Show, of course, one of my favorite features is always Sidekicks Picks, because Frat House Mike, Brandon, you both join me in our love of this NASCAR fantasy stuff that we do. And I wanted to just throw out the picks there, and then I'm going to throw it to each of you. If you have a comment, do you like or do you dislike the roster that Sidekick is going with once again this week? Now, here's Sidekick's picks to win chase race number two. He's going again with Kevin Harvick, Brad Keselowski, Jeff Gordon, David Reagan, and Landon Castle. So that's his five-star roster. And takes his roster amount to right around $100, which is the full, that would be his full budget. Who do you like there or not? Any comments, gentlemen?
From my point of view, you know, I like Keselowski and Harvick. They've been on my fantasy team most of the year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping that the other three that are different, I can gain some points on them. I'm trying to catch them, but it's just, you know, he put some distance on me last week. His backmarkers did better than mine. So I'm looking forward to hopefully reversing that today.
Okay. Interesting.
But, you know, I mean, you can't deny Harvick and everything that he's done this year. I mean, he's been the shining star for Stuart Haas. So you can't deny that. And he's starting from the third spot today. But I'll tell you, we've talked about it quite a bit, almost from mid-season on. We talked about some of the struggles that Jimmy Johnson had. It's a different season now. We're in the chase. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not sure. I haven't actually set my roster yet for today's fantasy, but I'm probably going to be inclined to find a way to get Johnson onto my roster. He's starting from the sixth spot right now. This is a guy that he doesn't know anything but winning. Let's get it straight. He's going to want to ensure his way into the second round of the chase. And I think starting from that sixth spot, as he is right now, he's in a good spot. He's in a good position. to potentially have a really, really good race at Loudon. So Johnson, I think, might be my bet. I love Brandon's optimism for me for Kyle. But again, I got to go back to my Toyota concerns. I think if I were gonna lay money on a winner, I think I have to go with Johnson today.
All right, well, I'm going to just throw a little wrench in here because we actually didn't chat about it earlier, and now might be a good opportunity. Harvick, was recently, right? He was spoken to by, I believe it was USA Today. I might be incorrect. But Fred House, Mike, you shared up the article. I know Brandon read it. Yeah. I read it. Harvick essentially made a good point, and it was something that a week ago Matt Kenseth had said. There's really no requirement that you win in order to advance through the rounds of challenger to contender to eliminator and into even the season finale at Homestead. By virtue of winning points and placing well, wins become less important than possibly they ever have. So let me ask you, does that play in? Does that factor in, or is that just outside? That's Uncle Mark, you are crazy. There is no driver that's thinking that way.
Well, I'm glad you brought it up because it's one of the things that struck me about one of the conversations you had early on in this particular program. When Uncle Mark, you asked, and Brandon came back and said, you asked a question about Brad Keselowski and, you know, is there really any need for him to have to win another one in this particular round? And Brandon, you came back and you indicated, oh, absolutely, he's not going to stop. Well, that runs completely contrary to exactly what Harvick is talking about. There really is no reason for Brad Keselowski to win this. I'm looking at a USA Today article that was just posted maybe about 2 hours ago over in the NASCAR section, and the headline is Brad Keselowski favored to win second chase race. I don't think that's going to happen because there's no need for him to do so. I kind of buy into what Kevin Harvick is saying. Why push it? You know, look, we saw Johnson, and we have every reason to believe that that's exactly what Jimmy Johnson did for probably, maybe the last 6, 7, 8 races of the regular season. He laid up. There's no point to it. I've got the wins I need to get into the chase. Hey, let's tinker with the car. Same situation here with Keselowski. There's no need to push it.
Interesting.
I don't think they're going to go out of their way to push it, as you say, but I don't think they're going to change. I think they're just going to keep going what they've been doing all year. That's just my opinion. I think they're going to try to win the race. I don't think they're going to, you know, they're not going to try any crazy camber in the right side tires or anything to risk blowing tires or anything. But, and I don't see them doing like a flash and go at the end to try to get a dramatic win. But I think you're going to see them do everything they've done all year and try to keep their momentum going. I don't see that changing.
Well, I hear what you're saying. I mean, this is that Penske team that we, you know, actually, let me refer to it this way. That's that pesky team. It's a pesky team. And you might be absolutely right. That might just be their mindset. But I think if you were to get into the heads of your average competitive drivers, a la the Kevin Harvicks, the Jimmy Johnsons, the Kyle Busches, and you say to them, okay, you've got to win right now in Tier 1. What do you do now? You know, well, I'm going to Disney World. No, I'm not going to do anything. You know, I'm not going to. What's the point? But you might be right. That might be the case because we've seen that from that pesky team all year long.
Well, it's funny, you know, on the Toyota side of it, Clint Bowyer, who did not make the chase this year. I like him as a driver. I like him as a NASCAR rep. I find him amusing, personally. But interestingly, Clint Bowyer did not seem to be in the conversation all year long during the regular season until Richmond. And what did Clint Bowyer suddenly do? And he pilots a Toyota. And we have said Toyota had a little horsepower, had a little power issue all year long. But all at once, when it really, really mattered to Clint Bowyer, and he was very close to winning that race, he placed third. It was not enough, his third place at Richmond, to get him into the chase. But all at once, irrespective equipment, the man had a desire to drive and win, and it showed. It was, for me, one of the first Sundays he had really, really shown up. So I might kind of agree with you, Frat House Mike, on that. Irrespective of your equipment, if you're feeling the pressure to win it, I think there might be a way to win it, and I think possibly this New Hampshire flat track might be the best possibility. Once again, you know, an Allmendinger, possibly an Eric Amarola, certainly somebody like a Newman. I don't know, even Biffle. I mean, I don't want to sleep on Biffle. These guys are all kind of floating near the bottom, but in fact, it's crunch time, boys. Let's go racing, right?
Yeah, that's for sure. You could see, I'm, you know, it's just going to be an interesting day. I'm looking forward to it. You know, I think you're going to see a few different names come up to the front more, but you'll also see your normal, you know, contenders up there as well.
All right, we're going to throw it out one more time for you, and then I'm going to run around and do a little housekeeping. If you care to give us a call, we are available, and we'd love to chat with you. 347-826-9964. Climb on in, get aboard, and if you have any thoughts, motorsports-oriented, give us a holler. We're happy to chat with you. Gentlemen, this is our second week running through the Race Trim Motorsports Hour, and this is now going to be our second full week with our new Frat House Sports Radio Network, and we've got so much going on. Thank you, Frat House Mike. Thank you, Brandon. Thanks to Sidekick, who joined us every week on Thursday to host and bring you our, well, world famous. Not quite, but we're working on it. Our Frat House Sports Show. That's every Thursday night, folks. You can find it here on Blog Talk Radio. We go live at 7 p.m. on Thursday evening, and we run 2 hours, and it's going to be all things sports.
Yep.
On a very good night of the week, because there's no football, on Tuesday night at 7 o'clock, right here, Blog Talk Radio, the Frat House Sports Radio Network. We bring you Red Zone Blitz. Now, last week, Brandon, you and Frat House Mike went toe-to-toe on a lot of football issues. You kept it to the sport. You didn't really talk the off-field activity, but quite frankly, you know, I'm a fantasy guy there on the football side, so I appreciated it, and I know you all did too. Let's talk about the product on the field, not all the nonsense off the field. So, folks, you do want to give a listen over on Tuesday evenings. It's a great night of the week because there's no football and you're probably going through withdrawal. Tuesday night, 7 o'clock, Red Zone Blitz, brought to you by, once again, our Frat House Sports Radio Network. On Saturday afternoons, Frat House Mike, I sat and listened to you yesterday, 2 hour great compilation of the best of all of our Frat House Sports shows. It covers everything, folks, all kinds of sports. It's not just football at that point, not just motorsports. It's MLB. It's going to be NHL. It's everything you can think of in sports. So absolutely easy like a Saturday afternoon. Come on in and join us Saturdays from 2 to 4, once again, the Frat House Sports Network. So we've got 4 great programs, men, and we're just going to keep it going. We're going to keep it going, right? We're going for the checkered flag. Is that safe to say?
Fun to do.
All right.
We're going to get ready. More than one checkered today.
Well, we're hoping so.
Oh, yeah, big day. Big day today.
Big sports. We got football. We got NASCAR. We got NHRA. All day long here at the Frat House.
Oh, Schefter reporting. Texas running back Arian Foster inactive.
Uh-oh. Big fantasy hit.
Well, man, we're on the wrap-up side. So I'm going to thank you both for joining me. Of course, my co-host was Brandon, my technical director, coming in. thank you, Frat House Mike, for giving us a holler and kind of livening up the program and having a cup of coffee with us this morning. Folks, you know where we'll be this time next week from 11 to noon. Give us a call, 347-826-9964 next week when we come again for Episode 3 of the Race Trim Motorsports Hour, brought to you right here in your Frat House Sports Radio Network. Talk to you next week. Thanks, man.
It's been fun. Yeah.